Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
Hey, when you stand up on your feet tonight, we're going to read God's word. Come on, you can do it. Come on, you young adults, you're not that old. There we go. All the mums and dads, they're up like in a heartbeat. The young adults are like, oh, my hamstring, there you go. Hey, tonight I want to preach a message called Discovering the Will of God. I want to talk to you about how you can find the will of God for your life. We're going to preach on one verse tonight, which is found in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 36, and it says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. Now, in fact, the verse goes on a little bit more after that, but it says he died. I didn't want to put that bit in the sermon. So we're going to just cut that bit off. Is that okay? But I'm being integrous and I did tell you. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. The Bible speaks a lot about future. It speaks a lot about dream. It speaks a lot about destiny. It speaks about purpose. It speaks about the fingerprint of God. Oh, I feel an anointing. The fingerprint of God on your life. We take comfort in scriptures like Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Come on, who knows that verse? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We take comfort in scriptures where the Apostle Paul says, for he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Or this one, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so tonight, what we want to do is we want to see an anointing touch this place so that we, like the Apostle Paul, can say, I have fought the good fight. Come on, is that a word for some tonight? I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. So Father, we thank you tonight for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you're here to speak to us. So Father, we open up our hearts to receive from you tonight, to receive your grace and your mercy. Lord, we're not here to listen to a sermon. What we're here to do is to hear your voice. So speak into our hearts, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' awesome name. There you go. You can grab your seat. So good. Awesome. How good is winter camp coming up for all of our young people? We're believing for 250 young people to go to the camp. So if you haven't registered yet, or if you're not registered a friend, then it's not too late to register a friend. How good is that? There you go. Alec Bennett just came alive all of a sudden. I greeted Alec at the door. When he walked in, he started yawning. I'm like, Alec, come on, man. It's Sunday night church. He said, Pastor Brad, I'm fasting coffee at the moment. So, no, he didn't say that. Let's give it up for Alec. Yeah. So, come on, Katie, you got to fire him up a little bit there. But we did get an amen, so that was good. So that's the start, Alec. Well done. Here you go. By the end of the sermon, he'll be doing forward rolls. Awesome. Everyone doing good? Hey, how good was that worship tonight? Everyone loving that song, Defender, by the way. I've been singing it this morning, singing it tonight, and we'll sing it a little bit later on. I want to talk to you tonight about four things to discover the will of God. Now, there is a twist in this message I do need to let you know, because what we want to do is we just don't want to preach stuff that places pressure on people to discover. You'll know it's the work of the Holy Spirit if it actually releases you to freedom. Because the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and there is life, and there is freedom. And so if what you hear tonight brings freedom in the call of God upon your life, we know that we are on track. So we've read a verse tonight out of the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 36, and it says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. We're going to take four things out of this one verse tonight, except the he died bit, but that's okay. We'll forget that for now. And I want to talk to you and help unlock this whole concept, this whole idea of how do I discover the will of God for my life. The first thing that I want you to notice is that the Bible uses his name. It says for David. Come on, it says for David. His name is used. Now, it's important that you know that when God calls you, you are not just a number. You are not just the face in the crowd. You are not just someone lining up in a queue to be used by God. You are someone that God knows your name. And in fact, the Bible says in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 3, it says, he calls his own sheep, watch this, by name. God knows your name tonight. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through. He knows what he's called you to. He knows you by your name. Why is it important when it comes to discovering the will of God that you know that God knows your name? Well, let me put it this way. Years ago, when I first became a youth pastor, back in the day, I was 23 years of age. That's the first youth group I ever ran, Allison and I, when we were 23. I go to a youth pastor's thing. I'm feeling all insecure because that's what happens to youth pastors, because God's taking them on a journey of security, because who's going to love me? Who's going to like me? Who's going to not like me? You know, and you go through this mixture of emotions. So I go to this youth pastor's event, and what happens is that the table is crowded. It's invite only. There's about 10 people there. And I go to sit down, and as I sit down, it appears as though on this table that you've got all the super youth pastors on the one side of the table and all the developing youth pastors on the other side of the table. Now, I was one of the developing youth pastors on this side of the table. So I'm sitting there and all the superstar youth pastors, bless them, are on this side. And Brad, the developing youth pastor, he's on the developing side. Then the super king youth pastor of the day walks into the room. By now, there's only one seat available. And guess where the seat is? Right next to me. He comes, he surveys the table, as people do, and he strategically decides, where should I position myself? Does anyone think this way when they go to meetings? Okay, a lot of pure people in the room tonight, so I'm glad about that. He goes and he grabs this chair and he moves it away from me. And in a heartbeat, my heart sank to my toes as I felt even more insecure about myself. And I thought to myself immediately, is this a black thing? Come on, you gotta ask these questions, right? Is this a black thing? And he takes the chair and he moves it to all the super youth pastors. And how many of you know that I was not feeling good about the call of God upon my life right then? I had to quickly discover that real security and the call of God on your life, it doesn't matter if people don't know your name. It doesn't matter if people ignore you. What matters is if God knows your name. And we need to develop security that's only found in God, where the Lord knows your name. Isaiah 43 verse 1 says, but now thus says the Lord, who created you? How good is that? O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. God knows your name. God knows who you are. God has called you. You may feel that you are the most insignificant person in this room tonight. You may feel as though, does anybody in this room even know who I am? The truth is tonight is that God knows your name. Exodus 33 verse 17, so the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight. Here we go. and I know you by name. How good is that? Isaiah 49 verse 1, listen to me, all you distant lands. Pay attention, you who are far away. The Lord has called me before my birth. From within the womb, he called me. Look at this, by name. He's called you by your name tonight. He knows your name. Even if people let you down, even if you are looked over, even if you are shunned, even if you feel as though nobody can elevate you, promote you, do they even know your gift? You need to know tonight that as long as God knows your name, for David. Goes on to say, after he had served his generation. So God knows him in his person, but look at how David postures himself. It says that he served his generation. Now, we live in a generation where the more social media phenomena you have, the more popular you feel, the more you feel like you've got influence. Am I against those things? Well, not really, but in the kingdom of God, the way up is down. Tall buildings equal deep foundations. Much fruit equals much pruning. The Bible gives us a clue to the call of God upon David's life and him discovering the will of God is the Bible says that David served his generation. God is not after superstars. What God is looking for is for servants. He's looking for people who will posture themselves in the position of a servant. The Bible doesn't say, well done, my good and famous servant. It says, well done, my good and faithful. Look at what it says, servant. Now, if you look at the Bible and you compare how Satan and the heart of Jesus. So Satan, he's all about self-elevation. If you look at Isaiah 14 verse 12, it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you said in your heart. Watch this. Watch his self-elevation. Look at how many times the word I is used. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There is nothing in there whatsoever about being a servant. He tried to elevate himself. He tried to lift himself up. It was all about I. But if you look at the heart of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, in the King Jimmy version, it says, and this manner therefore pray you, when they ask about how do you pray, he says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lucifer said, I will. Jesus said, thy will. I think about the life of Moses. Do you know that outside of Christ, there was no other person in the Bible who saw more miracles than Moses under his leadership? When it came time for the children of Israel to celebrate Moses after leading them so incredibly after 40 years, God comes to give a speech about Moses. Now, you think about the life of Moses. This is a guy who led 2 million people out of slavery. This is a guy who crossed the Red Sea. This is a guy for 40 years, free food. Every day it just rained free food. This is the guy who spoke to God face to face as a man talks to his friends. It's now time for his funeral speech. And you would think that God would give him a speech about being a courageous leader, a man of unswerving resolve. And look at how God refers to him in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Why? Because the greatest honor you can have in life is to be called a servant. Come on, we got to be opposite to the world. We're not trying to find position. We're not trying to knock someone else down so we can go up. Our heart in the kingdom of God is to be a servant. David served his generation. We think about David himself. He was a king. He was a writer, a poet, a singer, a musician, a warrior. This guy was a leader of leaders. He was multi-talented. But when it came to the summary of his life in the book of Acts, what was he called? He wasn't called a superstar. Wasn't called like, oh, this crazy warrior. You know, he would just beat down on people. What was he called? He was called a servant. May God give to us the heart of a servant. If we want to be in the will of God, if we want to flow in the call of God, if we want to be people who touch a generation, we are called to be servants. My first job in my youth group, when I was kind of like 16 or so, I was the official chair setter-upper and pack-a-downer. And man, I was good at it. And every week, serve, setting up chairs, packing down. Setting up chairs, packing down. Setting up chairs, packing down. And I did it week after week after week after week. But what that does in your life is when God takes you through processes of servanthood, is that when God does use you in other ways to be an influence and to be a blessing to people, you don't pat yourself on the back and say it's about time. What it builds into you is the heart of a servant, because we are not leaders in the house of God who serve. We are servants who have been called to lead. David served his generation. We've seen God calls you by your name, his personhood. We see that his posture. But now we see where God calls him to serve, the place of his servanthood. And it says, David, after he had served his, where? His own generation. The place of his servanthood was in his own generation. I love this generation. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on in our generation at the moment. But you'll never ever hear it out of my mouth that I wish I was born in the 1920s in some revival or something that happened in the 1940s in Azusa Street. I am thankful to God for my generation, this generation. There is no other generation on the planet right now like this generation. I remember when I was back in my youth ministry days, and we had this youth pastor that came out to us, came to our youth camp one night. We were down in Fremantle direction in Perth. And you know, as you do after youth meetings, you go, you grab a pizza or two. I wish we had Little Caesars tonight, but that's for another time. And so we're out, and, you know, Fremantle can, at nighttime, particularly on a Saturday night, you know, you get some party people and, you know, come close to 11, 12 o'clock. It's on for young and old. And this youth pastor, he looks out and he looks at what's going on, and we're kind of eating our pizza, because by that time of the night in Perth, shops closed down. The only thing you can eat is pizza. And so he looks out and he goes, and he looks at all these people. You know, there's a few nightclubs around and so on. And he says this, he says, "These people make me sick." And I looked at him, and I could have slapped him right there. Because that's not God's heartbeat. I love this generation. We should bleed for this generation. David served his own generation. Goes on to say, for David, his name, his posture, and of course the place, look at what it says. He served his own generation. How? By the will of God. And this is the bit you've all been waiting for. He served his own generation. How? By doing the will of God. Isn't it awesome to know that God can use us and we can outwork his purposes in our lives by us doing his will? I want to do nothing else. Come on tonight. I want to do nothing else tonight except outwork the will of God. God uses a specific person with a specific posture in a specific place. But here we go, for a specific purpose. So the question then is, what's your purpose? How do you know what the will of God is for your life? I'm glad you asked. Everyone happy tonight? Because you're getting very, very quiet on me. How do I know what the will of God is for me? Am I supposed to be a missionary in the deepest part of India? Am I supposed to be a missionary in Pakistan? Is that God's call on my life? Am I supposed to be a business owner? Am I supposed to be a youth pastor? Am I supposed to be a kids pastor? Lord, what is it that you have for me? Who feels sometimes as if they're called to ministry, then at other times they're called to business, and then one day they feel like this, and one day they feel like that, then the next thing they're going to go and live and become a nun somewhere, and then they're going to become a missionary in deepest, darkest Africa. But Lord, I'll just serve the church if you want me to, and I'll just do whatever. And so people are trying to find the will of God. So how do we know what God's specific purpose is for our lives? Well, let's go back to the story of David. So, where's Craig? Craig, you may as well come up. That'd be awesome. Now, David is, one of the great things about the life of David is that the previous leader, Saul, right, he was anointed with a flask. David, when he was anointed by Samuel, he was anointed with a ram's horn. One was created by man, the other was created by God. One was man's appointment, the other one was God's appointment. So how do we know we're flowing in the appointment of God and we're not just doing things for the sake of doing things and becoming a Saul? We want to be a David that outworks the will of God. Come on, if you're passionate for the will of God tonight, give me a good amen. So let's pretend I'm the prophet Samuel. Who wants to get anointed tonight? Anyone? Rundai Shundai. Come on now. Tie my bow tie. Thought I bought a Honda, but I bought a Mitsubishi. It's coming strong tonight. Let's get some volunteers. These are all David's brothers. So let's go seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Alex, you come, all of you guys come up. Come and stand on the stage here. I'm the prophet Samuel, and I'm getting ready to anoint someone tonight. Woo! They already know they haven't been chosen, but they're still smiling anyway. You know the story. So the prophet Samuel comes and he's ready to anoint the next king of Israel. And he goes down the line and he's like, you look good. He's tall. He's handsome. He uses gel. He's like, could it be him? Well, I'm sorry, but the Holy Spirit says, you got to go to the next person. We've destined him for other things, all right? Then he goes to the next guy and he's like, I like his shirt. He's got a nice smile, but goes to the next person. He's really smiling a lot because he wants to get anointed. And it's like, okay, she's good and she's awesome. And they keep going down the line and he's like, doesn't feel it. He's not feeling it. He's like, but they're all here. What's going on? And so Samuel, the prophet, he knows that God is calling him to anoint someone, but they're not in the line. So he's like, do you have any other kids? And he's like, yeah, there is one. He's, you know, he's insignificant. He's just out in the field looking after shearing the sheep. And so he's out there. It doesn't really matter. These are all the handsome ones. These are like the good-looking ones. So don't worry about him. He's just out there doing his thing, right? And so Samuel's like, you got to bring that one to me. Who wants to be David tonight? Tilly, come on, you can be David tonight. Come on, Tilly. It's Tilly, everyone. Now, thankfully, she doesn't smell like sheep, but it's all good. And so Samuel looks at David and it leaps in his heart. This is the Lord's will. And then he grabs the ram's horn and he pours the anointing oil all over David. And he is anointed for such a time as this. Come back to our question. David served his own generation how? By the will of God. So here's the question. What was David doing? Well, he was being faithful. He was doing his thing, just taking care of the little bit that God asked him to take care of. He was being faithful. He wasn't a superstar. He was out in the field. Nobody knew his name, but God knew his heart. God knew him out there. So here's the question. How do we find the will of God? The answer is, it's been like the greatest thing you're gonna, I've said some good things today, some good things. What I'm about to say right now is like top. This is like boom, right? It's like coming strong, man. I can feel it already. It's like kaboom. It's the anointing. How do you know God's will? The answer is, you can't discover the will of God. Do you know why? Because the will of God finds you. The will of God is actually chasing after you. The will of God is searching and hunting you down. You might be in the backside out there and nobody knows your name, but there is a Samuel, there's an anointing that's gonna hunt you and chase you down, because if it's the will of God, you will be found. So God brings him in, he's like, you're it. And pours out an anointing, a call, a touch from the Holy Spirit, because you don't find it. It finds you. It's searching. The Holy Spirit's hunting you down. He's looking for you. He's going over mountaintops. He's going through valleys. He loves you. He's called you. And if he's chosen you, don't bother finding it. It will find you. And so the will of God falls, and there's a touch of the Spirit that comes upon David's life, and his life is never the same again. So I say it's like this. We call it Horizon Church. Who likes our church name, by the way? Oh, come on, about four of us. Who likes our church name, right? Let's talk about a sunrise, okay? Because we live on the east. So I'm down at Cronulla, okay? And I'm like looking out. I'm in that high spot, looking down over Cronulla. And let's say the sun starts to rise. Here's a question. Is it a sunburst or is it a sunrise? It's a sunrise. It's little by little, by little, by little. You can't handle right now everything that God has for you. You can't handle that knowledge, that understanding of everything that God has for you. He's hunting you down, but as that sun rises, little by little by little, there is an illumination of the purposes of God all around you and what God has. Stop looking for a sunburst and start trusting God with the sunrise. He's hunting you down. Just be found. Stop searching and getting constipation in your prayers, like, Lord, what's the will? It's like, that's not good for you, not good for your belly, and not good for anything else. Just rest. He knows who you are. He knows your name, and he's hunting you down. How you doing there, guys? You're not insecure about what I've just done and Tilly's like, you know, they're all good. Come on, let's give them some love tonight. Let's give them a clap. Grab a seat, guys. It's all good. And this is what I feel to do tonight about answering this question about discovering the will of God. You find your security in Him. You recognize the posture. It's not for yourself. It's about others. It's about serving others. You love your generation by doing the will of God. How do you do the will of God? Stop getting all frustrated about it. He knows your name. He knows who you are. And the will of God is going to chase you down. Even if you are a David out there where nobody knows your name, God knows who you are. If we could have the musos and singers, that would be fantastic. You feeling okay? Come on, you're doing good? We're lifting the stress levels tonight. No stress, everyone. It's all good. Just be calm. It's all good. He's chasing you down tonight. So when you stand up on your feet, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, we just surrender afresh to you tonight. Surrender afresh to your will. We surrender afresh to your call. We surrender afresh. We surrender afresh. You know, I remember when in the will of God for Allison and I, you know the story. To be honest, I never thought I'd live in Sydney. I was happy in Radelaide. I like Radelaide. Radelaide's a good city. But the will of God was chasing us down. I didn't initiate the phone call. I just get this phone call. I didn't answer the phone call because I was too sick. But then the person kept calling and I thought, it must be important. I better answer. Why? Because the will of God kept chasing me down. And went down the line. David was the last choice, but he was God's choice. Even if you're the last choice, doesn't matter. As long as you're God's choice. Because I don't want to be anointed with a flask. I want to be anointed with a ransom, something that God created. Holy Spirit. Come on, the touch of the Holy Spirit. He's here tonight. I just want to break those chains off you, that pressure off you. I just want to bring you into freedom tonight. Because all it takes is one phone call. All it takes, one meeting. All it takes is you bump into someone that you've never met before. All it takes, orchestrated by the hand of God. Just one thing. So we surrender tonight. We surrender. We surrender. We surrender and we say, here I am, Jesus. I'm available to you. Come on, who can sense the Holy Spirit tonight? His presence is here. If you have this desire in your heart to, how can I say it? You just felt under pressure in discovering the will of God. We're very good at it in 21st century Christianity. Placing pressure on people to find the will of God. Forget it. He's going to hunt you down. You just got to rest. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm available to you. Come on, who can sense that? Come on, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. So good. If you just have this desire in your heart to make yourself available, your phone call, your meeting, your elevation in the purposes of God might happen little by little. By little, it can be a sunrise. There can be a sunburst. I'm not against sunbursts. It just kind of happens. You know, the guy who's my friend, his name is Daniel Kalinda, who became Reinhard Bonnke's replacement. And no one has preached in larger meetings than evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. Reinhard Bonnke was in a Bible college, saw him, and the Holy Spirit said, that's your replacement. Allison and I had dinner with them. He was just a young guy in Bible college, and the greatest, probably one of the greatest evangelists ever in the history of humanity, alongside of Billy Graham, sees this guy in a Bible college, and the Holy Spirit's like, that's your Elisha. Bring him on board right now. That was like, boom, dishes are done. Right? Did he go searching for it? Did he write 27 letters to Reinhard Bonnke's ministry? No, he was just faithful, serving. And the will of God chased him down. Come on, the will of God's chasing you tonight. It's a good runner. I'm telling you, you think you're a good runner? The will of God will outrun you. It's much better than you. Much better. So here we are, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, if you want to be available tonight, why don't you come right down the front? Say, that's me tonight, God. That's me tonight. Say, I'm available. Come on, step out of your seat. Say, here I am. Let the will of God chase me down. Chase me down. Chase me down, Jesus. Chase me down. Chase me down, Lord. Come on, people. Chase me down, Lord. Chase me down. Chase me down. Chase me down, Jesus. You're not pursuing God. He's pursuing you. He's pursuing you tonight. Chase me down. Chase me down, Jesus. So good.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.